I mean, God is willing. But I want to read something here out of Passion, I'm going to track Passion. This is Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget these things that I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life.
Amen.
Hold on to loyal love. Mm-hmm. Don't let go. And be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and man. You will gain the reputation of living life well." But I want to read also out of Colossians here. Colossians chapter 3 also says, "For you have acquired a new creation life, which is continually being renewed in the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, nor your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. You are always dearly loved by God. So rub yourself with the virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. And if you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity."
Amen.
Sure, that's good. Share a story with you. I'm going to let Miss Mary come on out. Back when I was a kid, I went up here to the church in the Mad Ring back here by Walmart. And growing up, you know, kids a lot smarter than you think they are. You know, they kind of, you know. But as a kid, I remember this couple coming through. They lived up here in this trailer park here behind the church. And they come down out of Kentucky. And this man, he was a hard-working construction worker. And his wife, she just had one lung, and that was kind of hard on her back then. But both of them could sing just wonderful. And they had three kids, and I love the kids, you know. The kid, he's always looking for another kid to play with, you know. But his name was Bill Jewell. And Bill loved the Lord, you know. And even as a kid, I kind of had my dad, his alcoholic and all, but I just used to think as a kid, man, it'd be great to grow up in a family like this. Because he always, I mean, he spoke for the Lord in all his words, you know. He loved the Lord, he loved the church and all. And like I say, they would sing some, but there's another couple come into church. And the church had bought an organ somewhere here in town, and I guess they made a deal with the people they bought it from, you know, we need somebody to play it, whatever. I don't know if the guy was a salesman or what, but anyway, I remember this man and woman come, and they had two kids, somebody else to play with, you know. and I remember this woman, she was gorgeous. I mean, I just think, like, man, that's the prettiest woman I've ever seen, you know, kids pick up on stuff like that too. But they would come and they would play the organ. She played piano some and vice versa. Both of them were very talented, you know, and sang too. But you know, the end of the story is, you know, I was going back with love and forgiveness and all, and I don't know what come up in this couple's life, but that man killed that woman. There they was in church, two kids, and I thought, man, they had it all together. Husband killed the wife. But on the other hand, I think back on Bill Jewell, how he always spoke of the Lord. And I don't really remember this other man and woman, you know, they would get up and do their thing, but just that right there, I mean, you could tell the difference between the two. But, you know, chase after love, run after love, and in that Colossians there, it goes on to let your speech always be of the Lord. I thought of Bill Jewell and how he, you know, even though they was, you know, I'll shut up, Brother Charles.
There's one for real Christians, the other one just had an appearance of Christianity.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time, this opportunity. We ask that you bless the speakers as they teach your word this morning. Continue to anoint them with more of you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing it with us. We just appreciate you so much. You just share your heart with us, and we just benefit from it so much.
All right, for right now, don't worry with it right now, Apostle. Don't worry about it right now. I got my phone, and almost Apostle want me to preserve that time. Well, I have my phone here, and I'm going to stay within that time limit because I want to be back here. Next Sunday, I know if I go too much over time, Apostle have to get his time back. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, because the entrance of your word brings light. And we thank you for revelation. We are revelatory people, and Holy Spirit, we call for revelation. We just thank you that you are just teaching us. The Holy Spirit is your best teacher. Okay, we're still in that vein of love. Now, last week, or the week before that, we talked about putting on love so we can have the proper respond to the Spirit. That Romans 5:5 said, the love of God been shed abroad in our heart. If we don't die to self, if we don't put on love, we're not going to have the proper response when the Holy Spirit is trying to flow that love out of us. And he's working. He's working overtime to bring us into the image. That's his job, to transform us. And to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. But we've got to cooperate with him. It makes it so much easier when we cooperate. We know what he wants to do. He's conforming us to that image. He's transforming us. But we have to do our part. Put on love. Because the love of God was shed abroad where? In our hearts. Not in your soul, not in your mind. You know, that's your responsibility. Because you couldn't get down in your heart and put what needed to be. But you can do it for your mind. You can do it for your soul. Oh yeah, you can do it for that. That is your responsibility. Now in John 13:34, when you go there, Jesus, think about where he was that night. He was doing the Last Supper that night, and many things had taken place. But he had came to what he really wanted to leave with his disciples. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love like I love, like I have loved you. Love one another that way. The old, what was the old commandment? The old commandment was love what, Apostle?
Love others where you want to be loved.
Okay, love others as you love yourself.
Yeah.
The way you want to be loved, as you love yourself. But the only problem with that, sometimes people don't love themselves. That was a big problem with that. Some people, I'm glad he gave us that new commandment. Now, the reason he could give us that new commandment, because he's going to the cross, and what was the job of the Holy Spirit? He was going to share that same love in your heart. The Holy Spirit was going to share, did share it in your heart in abundance. You never run out. So he could make this new commandment to come in because he made provision for it. Now we have no excuse.
Every time you do that, it sets a new pattern.
Every time you what now?
Every time you love somebody with God's love, it begins a new pattern.
That's good.
They can tell and they appreciate it and it amazes them. They didn't expect it. Say, this is the way you do it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
He also showed them before he told them. He never said, probably, John, I love you. But they all knew that he was the one whom Christ loved because John spoke more about love than any of the other apostles. You can show a person a lot more than you can tell them. He showed them first. And then he said, love others like I've loved you, because he always healed, he always fed, he always provided, he always instructed. That was his demonstration of love.
Unconditional love.
Another
thing they saw, he never left anybody out.
No.
If somebody wanted him to go to their house, they keep going. And they didn't, you know, that wasn't in the culture. You don't do that for poor people.
No.
Samaritans. You need nobody.
But like Mary said on love, she knew that even a crumb was enough. But the other thing, very important, that I'll make a point again, before he healed the little girl, it said he put out all the doubters, the criers, all of those who were not in perfect sync with the Word and the Spirit. Because it hinders.
So that's what you have to do even for yourself. You got to put out the hindrance, the things that will hinder the move of God. He put them out.
Yes. And those things and those people, because some people are a bad influence.
You know, sometimes it's not easy to put on love. Your flesh, you hadn't died. Sometimes, some places, some areas you just hadn't died in. You need to. You'd be like, oh no, I'm going to give a piece of my mind. The reason you're giving it away because you don't want it. And I got news for you, they don't want it either. But we must learn how to put on love. You know, I told you about these two prophets that had this encounter with God. The first one, Kenneth Hagin, God had asked him, what have, you know, the people done with the love that has been shed abroad in their heart? Did they think I just put it there just to be there? Or have they released that into circumstances and situations and love like they're supposed to? And the other one, when he had an encounter with God, God asked him, did you learn how to love? He said, huh? I mean, then he found out, whoa, this love is very important. If you can get the love right, you can get everything else right.
Yes.
If you can just get that love walk right, everything else would be so easy.
Amen.
When they asked him what was the greatest thing, he brought up love. Loving him. And loving others. If we can get that one thing right, look, if we can get that, I think we'll see revival and everything else.
Amen.
If we can get that right. And God is asking us to to get it right. What in the world happens with time? You know what? I'm gonna throw that clock away. But you know what? If we learn how to love one another and love God
and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very important, Sister Deborah.
Yeah.
That we learn how to love ourselves. Amen. And we'll learn that through God's love, that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes.
Because let me tell you, in this world, we have seen love so misrepresented. People tell you, I love you. Then maybe a couple of months, they'll tell you, I've fallen out of love. I don't love you anymore. You know, and we have seen that kind of love in our culture. And the church world has taken on that kind of love. But that's not the love he wants us to take on. The love, what love he wants us to take on?
Sacrificial.
Huh?
Sacrificial.
Okay, let's say what Romans 5 and 5. Sacrificial is very good. But Romans 5 and 5 said that love that the Holy Spirit has shed abroad in your heart. The love of God, he said it's the love of God that has been shed. The love of God, not the love of your culture. And that's sacrificial love. The love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart. I'm trying to run that into your minds. I'm trying to run that into your mind until we get it. That I got love down there that I can pull out.
Yeah.
When yourself want to say, no, you don't need to operate in love. Get that love. Practice getting that love out. Live on that love daily. Think about that love. Put on love. Once you put on that kind of love, when something comes up, what's going to come up? Love. When you operate, when you don't put it on, you know, when you wear it, when it becomes a part of you. And guess what? When that love that's been shed abroad in your heart flow up, it's going to flow out really smooth. No, it be no hindrance. When that Holy Ghost, it says out of our belly going to flow rivers of living water. That love brings life. And it wants to flow up. And once it flows up, it'll have no hindrance. You died. You're dead. It has no hindrance. It won't block it. It won't stop it. It won't have its own way. I wanted to get into the 13th chapter of Corinthians. When you get into that chapter, I tell you, it tells you, when you see that, I mean, you get to reading that, you're like, I don't have that kind of love. But you do. It's been where? Where is it located?
In your heart.
It's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Some people that read that 13th chapter say, oh, this is too strong. This is too much. But the love of God been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of love he's talking. He's not talking about the cultural love that we used to. I love you when you love me, and if you don't love me, I don't love you, and you know, and it goes on and on.
Anything you receive, you can operate in it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
And the other thing is, when Christ was at his greatest crisis, when he knew pain was coming, he looked forward and saw us.
That's good. That's good.
And then that love, when you're at the greatest pressure, you really love like he loved God. At the greatest pressure, like squeezing an orange, that's when it's going to flow the most. That's when it flows. That's his greatest love flowed when he was at his worst, facing his worst trial. And that's when it should flow from us. We shouldn't be concerned about our own trials. When we're being squeezed, that's when the greatest love should be pouring forth.
That's good. That's really good. because he had it shed abroad in his heart. He had plenty of it. He had, it was always told to me the nails didn't keep him on the cross. No. It was the love.
Lord, seeing us, his fruit.
Amen. It says, for the joy of the Lord, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
Now, don't think the cross wasn't shame and suffering. Yes, it was. People looked on it that way, but he looked at it a different way. Through the eyes of God. That's how he looked at the cross. Through God's eyes. And so it's very important that we know that we got enough love down in us, but if we don't put it on, when it wants to come out, if you hadn't died to self, honey, self is going to take control and going to stop that love that he wants to bring out. That is what the world is really looking for. I mean, they're looking for it in all the wrong places. But that's all that the world is looking for, love, somebody to love. Love speak every language.
They're looking for eros. Is it eros, the physical love, rather than agape, the God kind of love.
The God kind of love, yeah. Agape kind of love, is much different than the love that they are searching for. They don't have to go through all these things that they go through, these downfalls and stuff like that. God wants to, and God shows us love. I mean, and he said, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life.
I got a question, Mary, though. Uh-huh. Putting it on, worship, praise and worship, praying in the Holy Spirit, is there a
certain
way to put
it? It is. We discussed last week that getting into the Word of God. Let me tell y'all something. Don't say, I'm going to do better. Don't leave out and say, I'm going to do better. I heard the sermon, I'm going to do better. Because you're not. You're going to come up against something that you're not. But if you take this word and meditate in it, I'm not talking about just reading it. Reading is good. But just meditate in it till it becomes a part of you. Let me tell you, that's putting on.
Yes.
The Word of God can divide the soul, the spirit. The Word of God is quick and powerful and alive. But see, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives life. Yeah. It's not like you're just sitting down studying, but you're saying, Holy Spirit, show me. And you're meditating in it day and night. I mean, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. It's so many passages on love. And the Word of God is so much on God. Just get that Word of God. See, the Word of God, it said it'll divide the flesh. The Word of God knows how to divide. The Word of God will override that flesh once you get that Word of God in there meditating. That's one way you put on. That's one way you put on Christ. It's through his Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. So if you learn how to get in that Word and meditate, we're going to do a study on meditation of the world. You know, the world has taken our meditation and changed it around and getting some effect from it. But we are called to meditate. You know, once the world get whatever we have and whatever we suppose, we just leave it. Well, I don't know. Meditation may be a little wrong. No, meditation belongs to you, people of God, not to the world.
And it's to clean your filter. Joyce Myers put it so perfect where I finally got it. She says, your spirit is perfect.
It is.
She says, but your soul is a dirty filter. Everything that comes out of your mouth has to go through that dirty filter. And she says, until you clean that up, you're going to keep getting...
You're going to be clogged up. It's not going to be able to come through.
She said, and when it does come through, it's not...
as effective.
It's not as effective because it's dirty water. So she was saying, you've got to meditate. You've got to mutter the words. You've got to change your soul.
It can be done.
Yeah, and she says, then everything that comes out through that clean filter will be gone. There's no dirt in there.
Mind can be renewed and the body can be brought in.
We're going to teach on meditation. That belongs to us. We're going to do a teaching on that so we can get that mind. We were at lunch, Pastor's Appreciation Lunch, and some people were telling me, some of the students in here was telling me what they would like. She had on there on the calendar, the Authority of the Believer. She was saying she wanted us to do the book club to do Authority of the Believer. Well, you already have it on the list. And what was Joyce Meyer's book that somebody said?
Battlefield of the Mind.
The Battlefield of the Mind.
That one's very, very good. And so she has a book on love, too, that's really good. But the series I'm listening to from Joseph Prince on love is unbelievably awesome. So if you guys want one, just come by and tell me, because I'm telling you that this is where I got that revelation about the sweat of the brow and that being a part of the curse. And I thought, oh my God.
Yes, it's a big part of the curse.
And the other thing he said that was so beautiful, he said when the prodigal son came back, he said the father was already at the window looking. It was provision. He said, bring the fatted calf. He said it was good for everybody except for the fatted calf. The son was confessing, he says, but the father had already embraced him with love before he even said a word. And he said, that's our father. He's standing there looking at the window waiting every day.
But you know, his father had gotten out the house. He met him.
Yeah, he ran, but he was expecting him every
he
day.
Met him. That means he was looking for his son.
Yeah.
Yes.
Knew that his son would return. And he was praying. He was doing things to get his son back to a return.
And he wrapped him in love, God's arms.
He did.
His arms or might. But he wrapped him in love before he confessed a thing. And I love that. He says, God is provision.
But you know what? I believe him wrapping him in love and showing him so much love. The son began to say, I don't deserve this. You know, I've sinned. He saw, I've sinned. You show me love, but I've sinned, you know. And I want to teach on the love of God constrains us.
Yes.
And that's what constrained that boy to repent.
Yes.
Because he saw the love of God. But you know who had a problem with it?
Mm-hmm.
The church.
The
elder son.
The religious people.
Now, the other son that has stayed at home and did right, I mean, he did, he was religious, but he said, Father, I've stayed here, I've done everything right, I've obeyed you, I've done this. And the thing of it, he didn't understand the Father's love. And I'm convinced that the church do not understand the Father's love. Because he should have... The elder brother should have been out there hugging the brother,
yes.
Walking
him back.
See, let me tell you, this father didn't wait for the son to come. He went to him.